Good morning and welcome to this week's Family Service podcast. My name is Natasha Brady, the vicar of Stoke Poges Church. As it says in the Psalms, come, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to give praises to his name. And that's what we do as we gather together today with our opening prayer. Would you like to join with me now? Lord God, you have the bread of life for the hungry and living water for the thirsty. We come hungry and thirsty for your word, with a desire to know your will and to love with your unconditional love. Help us to be fed and to learn from you. Amen. Amen indeed. This week we're gathering in person at St Giles and St Andrews, as well as here online. And as we're now into the month of August, let me encourage you to go and visit the Eco Garden during the week. Feel free to go and browse around, pick a pea or two or water a plant, or just sit on the newly renovated bench and enjoy the peace and quiet. We have our midweek communion service at the St Andrew's Chapel, and it's a bit quiet at the moment, so I'd love to see you there. So if you're trying to venture out for the first time back to church, that's a lovely place to come. So let's worship together now with our first song of praise, Shine, Jesus, Shine. And thank you to Janet Cottrell for curating this week's worship music for us. Let's sing.
Glory, glory.
Lord, we do pray that we are shining examples of you, Lord, and that you are forming us into your image. But we know that at times we are a bit smudged and smeared from the world and the things that we thought, said and done. So we're going to come now to a time of confession. Pause this podcast if you'd like to, just to take a moment to reflect. And when you're ready, rejoin with me and say the words in bold on your service sheets. When we make wrong assumptions about others and judge the way they live, forgive us, Lord, for limiting people and possibilities. When we don't allow others to speak out and be the people you have called them to be, forgive us, Lord, for limiting people and possibilities. When we cast judgments on particular communities or neighbourhoods that are different from ours, forgive us, Lord, for limiting people and possibilities. Let us journey together towards wholeness and healing, knowing that only God can sustain us and set us free. Amen. And Lord, as forgiven people, we pray, Lord, that you come and meet us now and just convict us and let us know that we are forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Marguerite Wells now, who is reading to us from the Gospel of John. Thank you, Marguerite.
Today's reading is taken from John 6, verse 35, and then verses 41 to 51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. So here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And so we come to the time of the sermon. And I'm going to do my best to open God's word today. But before I do so, let us pray. Dear Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Just take a moment and think back to when you were at school. Who was your favourite teacher? Mine was Mr. Old. He was our secondary school maths teacher. At the time, I probably wouldn't have said so, but now, yeah, I'd say he was my favourite teacher. For I remember trusting his word. I remember always listening and then being engaged, so I wanted to learn. I was never going to be a great mathematician, but thanks to him, I did really well. So what makes a good teacher? The writer, poet, essayist and civil rights activist Maya Angelou once said, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." A teacher should be open, welcoming, trustworthy. A good teacher is able to explain and demonstrate concepts in a variety of ways for a variety of different learning styles. And as we look to the Gospel of John to expand on our understanding of who Jesus was and is and will always be, We continue this journey back and forth, around and over and across the Sea of Galilee. The crowds are still following Jesus. They have barely digested the fish and bread supper he miraculously gave to 5,000 of them, and now some of them are grumbling. Grumbling that this man, whom they only a day or two before wanted to seize and crown as king, was saying things that did not fit with their understanding of who he was. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty, declares Jesus. Grumble, grumble, go the crowd. You see, for them, the Messiah was going to be a son of David, and Jesus was. For them, the Messiah would lead them into a new age, and Jesus did. For them, the Messiah would fight for them and win them a great victory, and Jesus was doing that. And for them, the Messiah would lead them to freedom, and Jesus did that. But what they hadn't remembered was how this was going to happen and who it was going to do all this. So like all great teachers, Jesus reminds them, does a deep dive into the area of weakness in their understanding in the hope that they get it and that we get it too. Verse 45. It was written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. God had promised he would come and teach his people. Jesus was paraphrasing Isaiah 54 verse 13, which says, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. It's no coincidence that John's gospel, whose sole aim is to point all who hear it, read it, and study it, to who Jesus is and why he came incarnate on earth, dying on a cross and resurrected to life eternally. It's no coincidence that John moves from telling us about the feeding of the 5,000 and real bread to his next signpost of, I am the bread of life, using language and memories that recalls the time of Exodus, wrapped in a prophetic word given to God's people as they returned from a time of exile in Babylon. They will all be taught by God. For a good teacher draws on what you already know and adds to it. They expand your knowledge, deepen your understanding, thereby enabling you to get what they are currently talking about. So you grow. Jesus reminds the crowds, they will all be taught by God. So they will get what he is telling them when he says, I am the bread of life. The words are heard and immediately a barrier is thrown up. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came down from heaven? How often when you hear something for the first time, and it doesn't fit with what you expect, how often do you throw out lines like those from those first followers of Jesus? How often do you hear, or even do it yourself, grumbles of, well, if God was really listening to me, then he'd save me by doing this or that or the other. I mean, are we expecting God to change? As Jesus exposes who he is, God on earth, come to save them, he tells them he's doing it by feeding them words. Words that give life. Words that enacted lead to eternal life. Words that are like little nuggets of bread, building us up, forming us, guiding us, teaching us how to live with God and for God. Remember chapter 1 of John's Gospel? In the beginning was the Word. This rich text reminds us that God repeatedly reteaches each generation to trust in his provision, to remember where help had come from, and to look to the one whose food never perishes. Jesus uses the language of Exodus to make this point. The people gathered around him that day are alive to the memory of the desert years. They know the prophecies of Isaiah. So Jesus says, look, the bread of heaven has fallen again, but it's not for a day or a season. This bread does more. It leads you to peace. I'm here. It's happening. The story of God is continuous, and as we read it and reread it, you'll begin to see that over the millennia, the aims and objectives, our learning outcomes, to use teacher speak, have never changed. And the one who is our teacher, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, has consistently persisted in his teaching of us. I never like to just pull out a random quote without being able to qualify it. So when I pointed you to Isaiah 54, verse 13, it was because Jesus's use of it was pertinent to the crowd and to us today. Listen to it in context. God says to Isaiah, to me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will rebuild you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with lapis lazuli. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. Now, in this age of uncertainty, of fear, of unprecedented suffering, where the wounds of this world, inflicted by war, poverty, disease, disasters, it runs so deep that it's reassuring to know that Jesus draws all to him time and time again in word and spirit. All he asks is that we come. And he offers us bread from heaven, himself, Jesus Christ. From him we can be taught how to journey through this life by following his way. His bread gives us a taste of heaven on earth, bringing the kingdom of God to us to dwell within. Through it we are nourished, guided, formed, and redeemed. The nature of it enables us to move forward in the peace of God, defying all understanding in this chaotic world. Our gospel makes it clear, from Noah through to Moses, beyond to the times of exile in Isaiah, to the first century in Galilean regions, and right up to today in Stoke Poges. God is with us, straddling the heavens and earth, reaching into our lives, bringing life through the bread of life, Jesus. John's gospel signposts us, and Jesus confidently declares it, I am the bread of life. Come to me. So let us come. Amen. Amen. Our next song is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And the wonderful Audacious Worship Group have done this version for us. So let's sing with them. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
was blind, but now I see. 'Twas great.
Richard Beckinsale will now lead us through our intercessions, and when he says in you, O Lord, can we respond, do we put our trust?
So, in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. We pray for the Church. Father, we pray for ourselves and Christians everywhere, that we may have a clear vision of your purpose for our lives and the life of your Church. May we have the courage, strength, and determination to allow nothing and no one to deflect us from spreading Jesus's message. We pray for the leaders of our Church in England and for Natasha and her family at this difficult time. So, in you, O Lord, do we put our trust? We pray for the world. Dear Lord, we were reminded in our services last Sunday of your disappointment with the people in your creation and commanded Noah, the only one who soon still found favour, to build the ark and fill it with the creatures of your earth. Then you flooded your creation, the ark survived, and you promised not to do that again with the rainbow. In our Church here in Stoke Poges, We could have thought we had been through a bad time in the last couple of years. If we look at the Nepal Leprosy Trust, whom we help, and what they and their patients have suffered, we need to think again and ask you, Lord, to send them your grace and healing touch. We give thanks for our eco-garden team as they continue to show the glory of your creation as the seeds they plant grow into food that we can eat. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for our community. Thank you, Lord God, for the village and area in which we live. We give thanks for the ongoing service we receive from our surgery, who have protected themselves during the pandemic and have suffered abuse for that. We give thanks for the teachers who have continued to teach our children when able to do so during the last couple of years. May they enjoy a happy and peaceful time during the summer holidays and return refreshed in the autumn. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for those in special need. Dear Jesus, we have in our church and amongst our friends many who have suffered in many ways over the recent months. Some have now been able to get the medical treatment that they require, and we pray that these will receive a great recovery from their health issues that they have been suffering from. We thank you for the healing touch that you have blessed them and their medical team. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We remember those who have died and pray for the bereaved. For us and all those who mourn the passing of a dear one, give them the peace that passes all understanding. They will not be forgotten, and their memories will be with us forever. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And so, as Jesus taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our collect for this week is this. Let's pray. Lord of heaven and earth, as Jesus taught his disciples to be persistent in prayer, give us patience and courage, never to lose hope, but always to bring our prayers before you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we come to our final song of praise, a beautiful hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, performed by Graham Kendrick and his band. Thank you.
Right.
As we draw this act of worship to a close, let's pray together our final prayer. Thank you, Lord, for believing in us, for seeing beyond our outside and knowing who we really are inside. Thank you for giving us all we need to do your work, even when others may tell us we are only. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be adverts for you, so others can see that you also believe in them. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with me today for our Family Service podcast. It's been a joy and a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you in person. Do remember that we have our Friday email, our website, Facebook and Instagram page for keeping up to date with what's going on in the life of the church. God bless and take care. Bye.